With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming up at 8:20 or so, we will put our proprietary software to use and go deep goat on what Jimmy Garoppolo has been saying in the lead up to the Super Bowl.
Excellent.
So, we'll get to that. I know it's maybe uncalled for because of who it is, but I'm gonna go with a rare content replay on what Scott from Weymouth said when he called the show this morning.
The text line is gonna blow up.
Don't encourage him.
At 6:30 or so.
This has to be his greatest call of all time, right?
Please, don't feed the animals.
His greatest call of all time was the one when we started the show here where he fell asleep.
It was the greatest call in the history of radio.
It may be. But it's been pretty controversial with regard to what Scott said this morning about Kobe Bryant. So I'm going to give you a rare content replay from this morning at about 6:20 or 6:25 when Scott from Weymouth called the show.
Why is so much attention given to Kobe? And now, one minute, hold on. Please let me finish, Greg.
Yes.
What? You know we have veterans that die in war.
Yes.
All he actually did in life was put a rubber ball through a steel hoop. For some reason, let me finish. I'm going to piss everyone off, and I know it. I can take it. My friends hate me anyway. He put a rubber ball through a steel hoop, and we put him on a pedestal. You know what I'd like to see on a pedestal, Greg? The guy who shot down people who want to blow up America. Why do we put athletes on this pedestal? It's disgusting. It's American culture, and I'm not impressed with it, Greg.
Okay. So it's disgusting. It's American culture to put our athletes or our celebrities up on a pedestal and to spend, what are we going on now? I guess the third day of Kobe Bryant coverage. And so, I don't know, where do you stand on that? I think he's blaming the wrong, I mean, I guess he's blaming his fellow Americans for that. I don't think he's blaming the media necessarily.
Well, first of all, that's not just an American thing, right? I mean, we can confirm Neymar and all the other soccer players of the world are put on as great, if not greater, pedestals in some of these countries, right? So that's erroneous. I think it doesn't come off great in light of the recent events, but his underlying point, wouldn't you say the perspective has been lost in terms of the adoration of athletes, it gets out of whack. I mean, even people wearing jerseys, to see Fitzy running around in like the Matt Lights jersey, grow up.
Now we're just making things up to try to solidify a point that's, you know, barely comprehensible in the first place, Ken. How about this? How about professional athletes, though they may be lionized and deified to too great a degree? Sure, you know, like me naming a kid after Tom Brady and wearing a shirt today in the studio that says GOAT on it. Fine. I get that. But at the same time, Greg, for many of us that are never going to be that great, for a lot of us, Hammond Eggers and 9-to-5s, the schlubs, the scrubs. These athletes give us something to hope for. They give us something to look forward to on a nightly basis or every Sunday. They give us something to aspire to. They get kids off the couch and out of their crap lives and onto the field and taking that stupid little rubber ball and trying to put it through the metal hoop. So they should be lionized to a certain degree because they do a greater good.
Do they do a greater good, though? They get paid millions of dollars to play a sport.
They're not
running into a burning building.
Okay. And those people should be championed as the heroes that they are as well. And I think we've seen in recent year that the response from the mass, from the populi, has been pretty great whenever some of these people have been imperiled or sadly have lost their lives as well. The way Kobe Bryant, an international superstar, lost his life was tragic and sudden, and the response, I believe, though at times, I wouldn't call it maudlin, at times has been a bit overwhelming, but I think it's largely appropriate.
This is Paul from Uxbridge. Hello, Paul.
Hey, morning, you guys.
Yeah.
And the one thing we have to remember with Scott is you have to separate the message from the presentation. That's how I'll stay there. But going back to Kobe, so I think the biggest litmus test of this whole Kobe thing is when we look back 6 months, a year, or 2 years from now, and when we see either buildings or recreation centers or a statue go up, how are we going to feel seeing like a Kobe Bryant statue? So I think that is the biggest takeaway. I mean, given the body of this person's work and or actions or events in their lives, I think when you give it a little time, that's going to be the biggest judge.
Here's the text that says, Nick, you sound like a moron.
All right, well, what, if I open my mouth, yeah.
What greater good?
What greater good do these athletes serve?
What greater good?
Didn't you hear Wiggy yesterday? Sneaker. They broke down the sneaker walls.
Oh, Jesus. Please.
His sneaker impact was felt in Yugoslavia.
Sneaky sneakers.
Sneaker impact. It gives these kids someone to aspire to be. It gives these kids heroes. It gives these kids hope. There's no way to actually be able to quantify how many kids weren't going to play basketball or weren't going to get physical activity that maybe don't have like a great coach or father figure or mentor in their lives, yeah, who watch Kobe Bryant and then say that's what they want for Christmas is a 24 or an 8 jersey, and then they're going to go out and practice and they're going to go want to try and be like Kobe. Just like what was the whole thing behind Jordan? Be like Mike. If I could be like Mike. Sure, that was a Gatorade catchphrase, but that's what every kid wanted to do and wanted to be. Tom Brady serves a greater good. Yes, he's in it for himself, but he also serves a greater good because of the influence that they wield. And Kobe was wielding that influence for so much good towards the end of and ultimately at the end of his life, which was cut too short.
Do you think that enough time is spent, though, and I'm not talking about media, I'm talking about the consumption of media by Americans. Do you think that they're... Like, was there enough time spent on the passing of Lieutenant Menard, the Worcester firefighter who died in December? You know, I went to this great event on Saturday afternoon after CrossFit, and
have you gotten checked for rhabdo yet?
It's called the Be Fit Challenge, mm-hmm, and it's a bunch of first responders. Nice. They do it at the Boston Garden.
Yeah, that's an incredible
with the Bruins.
Yep,
and I met the guy that Lieutenant Menard threw out of, I believe it's a third story window, the firefighter, that he threw out through the window.
Yes.
Gave up his life to throw this guy through that window. And is enough attention given, is the same amount of attention given to that sacrifice that is given to the passing of Kobe Bryant by Americans consuming media? I mean, that's the question.
The answer is no, of course not. I mean, even like the Trump impeachment, how much time have people spent watching the last 2 weeks about the state of what's going on with Trump? They flipped to the Kobe stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you listen to Schiff talk, I mean, let's be completely honest.
Are you ready for the big Schiff photo dump at high noon today?
Oh, yeah. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be real exciting. Holy hell.
They're like threatening him.
Yes.
This organization is going to drop these photos of Schiff at high noon today.
Oh, boy.
From the mid-90s, right? Something like he was caught compromised like 25, 30 years ago?
I think so.
And by the way, Greg, you spoke to the fact that Lieutenant Menard was it who passed and who saved this gentleman throwing him out the window. Yeah. It is incumbent upon, see, what you've done right there, you have passed it on. Now you are using your position for good to remind people of that story. And that guy, it's on him. Menard sacrificed himself. That guy has to tell that story over and over and over again, and he'll be serving the greater good, and more people will keep talking about it.
Yeah, but that's how it goes. Do people want to hear that story, or are they more interested in Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candle? You know, that, I mean, that's what Scott is talking about, I think. This is Eric. Hello, Eric.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Eric?
So I kind of agree with Scott as far as putting Kobe on a pedestal. I think he's an iconic figure. But I think the media obviously wants to sell the story and everything. But you kind of touched with the firefighter Menard that he doesn't get the recognition that firefighters, police, military – that they deserve. And no, I really agree with it, with his point with the media hypage over telling a story with a celebrity's death.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an interesting point that he makes. I mean, I agree that he doesn't always make his point, and I think, you know, sometimes this can be blamed on alcohol. He doesn't always make his point in the right way, but it's an interesting it's an interesting suggestion,
Scott,
when it comes.
Yes, I'm here.
Now, here's a text that says, this show has spent hours covering Tom Brady's real estate situation. And we're trying to say that we're spending too much time on Kobe Bryant's tragic death.
It's a sports station. This is allegedly a sports show times. That's what you cover.
Yeah.
But you may ultimately be saving lives and preventing people from doing things to themselves. If Tom Brady leaves, you're preparing the masses, Greg.
This is Jack. Hello, Jack.
Yo, man, how are you?
What's up?
Listen, my only beef with what Fitzy's saying is kids these days, they're not playing basketball because they're watching Kobe. They're sitting in front of their Xbox, eating Twinkies, getting fat, playing video games all day long.
No, Jack, listen, that's exactly why I said this, Jack, because I was a sad, fat kid. And I should have found that somebody who I wanted to aspire to be like.
Now,
and
thanks, it's great. Now thanks to Ken, you're a sad skinny guy.
That's right. I'm a super sad skinny guy. There's no amount of food that'll ever help me deal with the guys in the box behind me. But this is exactly what I want there to be more of. More people like a Kobe, more people like a Brady, more people like a Neymar that kids can watch and then say, you know what, I am going to put down the Xbox or the Switch and the snacks, and I'm going to get outside and play. That's exactly what we need more of.
Here's somebody who says you can go ahead and put athletes on a pedestal, but they're not heroes. The definition of a hero is a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character.
That's to you. Some people have a different version of that definition. Some people think heroes are something different. Like a hero to someone could be someone that inspired them and pulled them out of a dark place. I agree with what you're saying, but I think people have a different way that they look at that word.
This is Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going
Hi,
on?
Kyle.
Let me break it down for the dinosaurs who don't understand how Kobe impacts on the youth here.
Yeah.
So growing up as an athlete, you know, I was lucky enough to get a Division I scholarship. And so our role models growing up in my generation, you know, I'm 25 years old now. We have Mike Vick, Allen Iverson, and Kobe Bryant. Out of those three role models, who was preaching hard work and the right things? It was Kobe Bryant for us. I didn't go in the gym at 6 a.m. because of Allen Iverson. Because of Mike Vick. Allen Iverson was telling us not to practice.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was telling us to go out there and be great, work out what we do. You know what I mean? So it's just, those days, he was the first good role model for us to have as athletes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think they really understand that.
Kyle, how old did you say you are?
I just turned 25.
What about, was Pat Tillman a role model for you?
I don't even know who that is.
You don't even know who Pat Tillman is.
I know who it is. I know who it is. You know what I mean? I know this story. But you bring up the name, most sports people don't know who it is. You know, you get my point.
What's the Pat Tillman story?
He's the NFL player who, you know, left for the Army and then he ended up risking his life. I mean, you can try to make it seem like I don't know what I'm talking about, but
no,
I do.
Kyle, don't get butt hurt.
I'm not getting butthurt, but I mean, I understand a rhetorical question when I get asked one. So,
oh, all right.
Just to reiterate my point, like I said, you know, I just think it's hard for the older generation to quite understand because they had different role models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm an older guy, and I admire athletic ability. I admire Tom Brady's ability. I admire what Tom Brady has done for this community, but I certainly have more admiration for a man who is making millions of dollars playing in the NFL and wakes up after September 11th mm-hmm. and says, I'm going to give all of this up and go fight for our country.
Right.
And then dies doing that because mm-hmm. I'm a big, gigantic pussy and I would never do that.
Right.
I don't.
You couldn't pass the physical test. That's the problem.
Not, maybe I could after CrossFit.
Flat feet?
I think you proved to us with your deadlift form
it's
that
the
no.
small hands.
Yeah, I'm that's it. And the glasses.
Pat Tillman's bravery can never be overstated, Greg.
No.
And that is, honestly, in athletics, especially in professional sports, that's what I mean, there is no greater definition of hero than the story
not
of Pat Tillman.
Not according to that guy. Yeah.
Well, but he's.
But
I
Pat
think
Tillman
he's
didn't have the level of notoriety that Kobe did.
He should have.
But no, I'm saying even, but like prior to his death.
Correct.
He did not have that level of notoriety.
He was.
It's an uncomfortable fact, you know. After the fact, of course, yes, more so because of his death and what he did. But you, I don't feel like you can compare the two.
I agree with you, Danielle. Michelle, excuse me.
Here's
a text that says Greg thinks Hero is a sandwich.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Don't ever call it that.
He doesn't like the hots, though.
It's a sub.
He's too
sensitive
for the hots.
The grinder and the hoagie and the hero people can kick rocks without socks.
What
it's
about
a sub.
What about the Euro?
Now, a Euro is different.
Zero, you're my hero.
And anyone who says gyro just to be one of those people,
right.
Come on.
Suck it.
It's a Euro. Euro.
This is Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Greg. How are you? How's everything?
What's going on, man?
Nothing. I'm one of the dinosaurs your last caller was talking about. I'm an older gentleman that's been watching football and sports for a long time. But I stopped watching basketball since Larry Bird retired. But the last thing I saw with Kobe Bryant was crying like a baby on the TV, cheating on his wife.
So you're saying that you don't look at Kobe as a hero, is what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying he's a hero, but I mean, we all make mistakes and we all do things wrong. I mean, he's human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he turned his wife around, but he still made mistakes. I mean, you got athletes out there that have never done anything wrong that you could choose a better hero. That have never been in the media for doing things wrong or spending $5 million on their wife because they cheated on her to make it so she don't leave him.
I think it was only...
It was four.
$4 million?
The yellow
for
diamond?
The purple diamond.
For the
purple.
Ring?
It was purple.
Purple diamond?
Yeah,
$4 million dollars.
Something like that.
Wow. This is Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I get that Kobe was a basketball icon and he was great for basketball world for the NBA, but I disagreed with something Dale said yesterday about him being a hero. I'm not sure if you heard it,
no.
But he compared Kobe's death to 9/11, saying that the NBA should have suspended games because the NFL regretted not suspending game after 9/11. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that.
Wait, the NFL did suspend games. Rob, if I'm correct, the NFL actually did suspend games that following Sunday.
I believe it was the following Sunday. But he was talking about how they regretted not doing it immediately. And I took that as comparing 9/11 to Kobe Bryant's death. See if you could find that from yesterday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have hear that in context.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would have to hear it in context. This is Matt. Hello, Matt.
What's up, guys? Just quickly, 9/11 happened on a Tuesday. I believe the games were suspended that following Sunday. So, Fitzy's right.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
So, my bigger point is, I think in a 24-second news cycle, it's sad that the, you know, real heroes, first responders, servicemen and women don't get immortalized like it should. There's no question. But the whataboutism and the need to compare tragedies, I think, speaks to a bigger picture. Kobe Bryant was a global sensation. Basketball has a bigger reach than any of the four major sports. So, across from China to Asia, you know, to Europe, across the board, Kobe Bryant was idolized, okay? So if you can't understand the reason why people don't come together through sports and mourn, you have the Olympics every 4 years where people who hate each other come together and they compete. You have a congressional baseball game that is played every year, where in that dumpster fire that is Washington, they still come together and they can play baseball. So to not understand how people don't connect through sports and don't mourn figures, I don't know. I think you have to look within, and if you can't see that.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting topic. Unfortunately, started by Scott from Weymouth. I hate giving the guy credit, but we got to do that. Are we getting to trending right now?
Indeed we are.
All right, let's do it.
Your source for off-season Patriots coverage. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And that earlier texter brings up a fair point. We've spent too much Brady coverage time here on the show, so I think it's time for this.
The truck leaves for Fort Myers in 5 days.
Uh-huh. Let's talk a little Sox. Big Red Sox news.
Are we covering that live? I mean, we are the flagship station of the Boston Red Sox.
I would like to be there. Can I get off the show?
I mean, is Zarbano sending somebody over there to cover the truck departing for Fort Myers?
I mean, we're all, captivated by Dick Flavin every year. That was a nice job, I guess.
I believe, actually, Greg, my sources are telling me that Stiz Grimey was given his very own Boost mobile phone, and he'll be calling in from the truck. He'll be calling in from truck day for us.
Excellent. Well, here was Lou's big report yesterday on OMF, his scoop.
And I'll tell you what I was told, that they have made multiple attempts to sign Mookie Betts throughout his career. There's a couple of them reports out there publicly that they had offered him 5 and 100 a while ago. At 8 and 200 was the one that everybody talks about. That,
yes.
You know, the last one.
Right.
Well, at 2019 offseason, there was another offer that was rebuffed. And that offer was, you've seen some of the contracts that are out there, tables were set. It was in that 10-300 range.
10-300 range. Now, again, we had Lou in earlier. I don't doubt his sources. He says that he can confirm that actually happened. But when he says 10-300 range, people are skeptical that's coming from Red Sox state media.
Do you believe it?
Were they seriously trying to sign Mookie?
Well, you're always talking about the potential spin when it comes to if Tom Brady leaves.
Correct,
So I guess there are some who believe that the Red Sox are already spinning what Mookie wants as being, you know, ridiculous and unaffordable, and that's the reason that they won't be able to sign him. I don't think.
Right.
I mean, is Lou on the payroll? Do we pay him for the Sox games?
Good question. I haven't seen the contract.
I don't know.
Are you on the payroll? Or?
I'm not on the payroll. I mean, I may accept a ticket here and there every once in a while.
Yeah.
Stay for a couple innings.
No, we should revisit Danielle's lead this morning, too. I mean, this was a huge scoop. Scoops Murr. Yes. How about this?
Yes. Scoops Murr.
Yes.
Regarding Dante Scarnecchia stepping down, you want to reiterate this, Danielle?
According to my source was told by Dante, allegedly, in the preseason, that if Tom Brady were to retire or leave the Patriots organization, that he would decide to retire, meaning Dante.
I see.
So I am making the correlation that because Dante Scarnecchia retired, not because of his age, not because of any other obligations, not because he's tired of football, that indicates to me that Tom Brady is gone.
Huh. Okay. Either retirement or headed to one of the 8 teams.
Correct.
That Christian Fourier says are interested.
Allegedly.
Okay. And Brady posted on Instagram yesterday a farewell to Dante. Couldn't have been a greater man or coach. What a privilege to play and work with him for 2 decades. The definition of the Patriot way, consistent and dependable every day. So, obviously, those two liked each other. Fitzy, you know Dante Scarnecchia well. Was there for 5 of the 6 Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, 5 of the 6, and he got a ring on another one, too. Oh, Scott!
So sad. It's the Greg Hill Show.
More of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Alone on the sea. Dark side of me, love remains a drug that's high enough to feel. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen?
I mean, chivalry is clearly not dead when it comes to Boomer Esiason after the 2 dozen roses he sent to apologize for mispronouncing your name. I wonder if Wiggy has received any roses from those who have mispronounced his name.
Highly doubt it.
Yeah.
And if he did, he probably wouldn't accept them because his wife would get pissed.
No, in fact, Danielle Trotta, she didn't respond to requests, and then she sent out like a tweet like, oh, Wiggy loves me. He knows I wasn't just kidding.
I think she was kidding? Wait a minute. She was kidding when she called Jerome?
She knows I love him.
Or Jeremy? She was Jeremy, right? The caller was Jerome.
I'm just going back to what Jeremy Wiggins said.
I heard Wiggy sent 2 dozen roses to the English language.
I guess it's a read every text Wednesday, so I'll go ahead and read this angry text. What a failed attempt to embarrass that caller about Pat Tillman. It completely backfired. Sad that your show is angling everything toward EEI's crusty conservative audience.
Huh?
You're
not crusty.
I merely wanted to investigate with that caller whether or not they know the story of Pat Tillman or not, and whether that is as important as the story of Kobe Bryant. Why is that a conservative? What, because he served in the military? Is that a conservative viewpoint?
No, they're just trying to attack you.
Greg, if we're talking about heroic sacrifice, there is no greater crossover point to be made than a Pat Tillman. That's exactly, if we're talking about first responders and people who sacrifice themselves in the name of civilian safety or military duty versus athletes, there is one great 21st century example, and his name is Pat Tillman. So therefore, it bears mention.
Yes, and the fact that maybe some don't know the story, is it not important for me to bring it up? So if you're, I mean, he's 25, so a texter pointed out that he was 8 at the time of Pat Tillman's death.
Tillman died in 04.
So he may not know the story. So,
but he said he knew the story, and you tried to embarrass him. I mean, you did. It was an old
trick. I think it was your tone that the texter is taking issue with.
Was it my tone?
The verbiage was a little, yeah.
It was my tone.
But even still.
Was it verbal violence? Was I committing verbal violence?
Even still, just from a coverage perspective, and I this is not me in any way being disrespectful to anyone who served in the military or anything like that, or Pat Tillman's decision, because it was truly heroic. Globally, I don't think most people would have known who Pat Tillman was at
that
time
sad?
In his playing career.
Isn't that sad?
But that's how it is. That's just that Kobe was a bigger celebrity. He had a bigger impact when he played. And, you know, if Pat Tillman had gone on and not enlisted in the military, would he have touched as many people as Kobe? Probably not.
And would he have made the same impact if he had not tragically lost his life in friendly fire?
Right.
This is Justin. Justin.
How you doing, boys?
What's up?
Morning.
Hey, Danielle, how are you?
Hello.
So I was just calling to, because obviously everybody thinks Scott Klamath is a moron. I joined the military, and I signed on a dotted line to know that my sacrifice for the greater good was always present. Saying that, I support first responders, paramedics, police officers, military veterans, but Kobe was doing good things. Everybody wants to say, oh, Kobe cheated on his wife. We want media coverage for that. But him going down in a plane crash with his 13-year-old daughter, we don't need to glorify it as much. Kobe did unbelievable things for the community. Children, basketball programs, he was a good man. He made a mistake. He cheated on his wife. He got through it. That's his personal business. That shouldn't even be brought up in topic with everything that happened. He lost his daughter. He lost his life. And that family is destroyed right now over an accident. It has nothing to do with first responders or military veterans or anything else. Kobe was an icon in basketball. He joined the NBA when he was 17 years old. He retired when he retired, and he did a lot of stuff for the game, and he did a lot of stuff for his community around him. That's what should be talked about, not that we're giving it too much media coverage.
Justin, thank you. This is Jerry. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
What's happening? Danielle,
hello.
If I may.
What's up?
Good morning.
So earlier, our caller called and said that called somebody a hero, and you said, no, that's your definition of the word hero. It means different things to different people. That's the purpose of this call. I would say incorrect. Words have meanings, and they're defined by those meanings. Kobe Bryant can be inspirational. He can inspire someone to greatness. The difference between there's a line, a demarcation between hero and an inspiration, and that is sacrifice. The fireman gave up his life is a hero. I think the same day that Kobe's helicopter went down, didn't we lose like 11 service members in some type of?
That was an anniversary of that. It was an anniversary of that helicopter.
Happened in 05.
Let's just use that, though. Those people serving us, making our lives safe, protecting us, providing us the freedoms that we have, in sacrificing their lives for us, that rises to the level of hero. Now, you can be both. You can be inspirational and a hero. But they are defined by their definition, and a hero is somebody that is more involved than Kobe. Kobe was doing great things, helping the community, all that. If you've never been falsely accused by someone of something, you don't know how easy it is to be falsely accused. So I am not judging Kobe by that accusation because I don't know what happened. I wasn't in the room. It might have happened. It might not have happened. It's part of his history. It's his mosaic. It goes with him. It's going to follow him. Doesn't affect my opinion of the guy. He was doing great things. Superb athlete on the court. Probably, as people say, nobody worked harder than him. Those are all characters to his credit. However, Kobe Bryant doesn't rise to the level of hero. And we have in today's society, whether it's film, whether it's music, whether it's athletes. We have a propensity for rising these people, raising these people to a level that sometimes is troubling.
Yeah, it's impossible for them to live up to that level.
I disagree with Jerry a bit there, because I don't think most people, unless you're someone who is totally anal retentive like myself, walk around thinking about the specific Merriam-Webster definition of words. I think it's more about the interpretation of the word for people, which is more what I'm getting at. People interpret the word hero differently. Some people look at it as someone like a military member or a first responder. Some people look at the word hero as someone who has impacted their life and as Jerry said, inspired them to do something or change. So it's the interpretation of the word. You're not going to sit there and say, well, technically in the dictionary it says this is what a hero is, because it's not what it is to people.
But that's what Nick and even Wiggy yesterday were saying, which is that Kobe inspired a lot of kids, not only in this country, in other countries, who may have ended up with a different result from their life to play basketball, and that's inspirational.
Yes, it
is. But is that being a hero?
No, but the sacrifice you can make with the time when you could be off doing rich people things, I see that as mildly heroic. And I agree with you, Danielle, that people take it to be their own definition, and that's okay. There's a lot of wiggle room for interpretation here. Last week, this radio station was doing what? Making money. It was debating the Hall of Fame. And what is the definition of fame? It means that you're famous for something. So is it that you're great or that you're famous? Right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what the exact definition is. It's what it means to you, and was, again, a greater good served. And the answer is yes.
But evidence that things are out of whack, I mean, just look at Fitzy's social media. I mean, come on. I mean, what a mess. He's got an acronym for every player in town.
this is JD. What's up, JD?
I have radiation poison.
What's up, boys?
What's going on?
So to talk about someone in the prime of their life that declined a $5 million signing bonus to pick up a gun and go to Afghanistan and defend our freedom, and to compare them to some ex-basketball player, rich person, who was flying in the private helicopter that their stupid pilot flew in fog, that you can't even talk about those two people in the same sentence. And I went to that game in 2003-04 from UMass Amherst. Me and my buddies flew out to that game when Tillman was getting – when the Patriots were playing them, and the whole stadium was, you felt electric just being in the presence of Pat Tillman's wife and him talking about him and unveiling the statue. To compare him to Kobe Bryant in a tragic accident is just ridiculous. And everyone that's calling in trying to do that should be ashamed of themselves. Well, so I'm just going to hang up the phone before I get heated.
Well,
thanks,
I mean,
JD.
Apparently, according to that texter, bringing up Pat Tillman is pandering to some kind of conservative mindset or something,
which is stupid.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I just don't think you can put the two situations anywhere near on the same level. I think it's like kind of apples and oranges.
No, but don't you think that there should be a commentary on the fact that there is a difference in the adoration of Kobe Bryant and Pat Tillman?
Yes.
A gigantic
difference. I think people also look...
It's off kilter.
It is. But I think that a lot of people, and this includes many service members that have checked in on the text line that I know, have a differing attitude that military, first responder, you sign up for it, there is the inherent risk that you could die.
Well, yeah, but what does that have to do with... There's an inherent risk that you're getting in a helicopter.
I don't think you can make a level comparison between the two situations. That's all.
What do you mean? What are you talking between? What two situations?
Between Kobe's death and Tillman's death, and the coverage of each, and how people look at them, and what they consider them to be.
The whole point is that it's off kilter, the reaction.
I know that, but I'm saying that Kobe was a global superstar. I don't think Pat Tillman was on that level, and regardless of his sacrifice, which
he
was,
shouldn't
was,
be a global superstar for
he
his
should
sacrifice?
Be, but that's not how the world works when it comes to celebrity these same people that are saying, well, we shouldn't glorify Kobe, are the same people that go out and buy jerseys and go to games and are like, rah, 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 for the athletes.
Well, I think, to Danielle's point, though, Pat Tillman now, Greg, has sort of become, I'm not going to say a global superstar, but that is a nationally, if not possibly globally recognized name now because of the sacrifice that he made ultimately both enlisting and giving up his playing career and then losing his life. That's not what he was in it for, though. And yes, Kobe was in it because he loved the game, but transcended that by becoming a bigger star and ultimately doing good himself. They're mutually exclusive, but I can see why there was also a comparison being made.
Hello, John.
Good morning, good folks. Hey, Ken, do you remember what Larry and Craig, when you were interning Saturday mornings, used to call sports in general?
The sandbox?
Close. The toy department.
Toy department, yeah.
And I would add to that kind of like the fantasy part of the allure of these people. By the way, if I sound like I'm criticizing people's lives, I have absolutely no life, so I can feel free to criticize others.
Same.
Well done, John.
Same. Gotcha.
It's kind of like when I think a big part of this is our fantasy and toy department is colliding with reality. We all know that harsh, awful things happen in life. But we have the toy department to get away from that. We watch the Patriots on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we watch the Celtics and this and that. And it sort of takes us away from the serious, god-awful, crazy stuff that we deal with in regular life. So when those two worlds collide, it's very upsetting. And let me share something I called Monday. I mentioned that my father died, happened to be 41 when he died.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't have the I didn't confess up totally. A certain part of me, and this is immature and not great, I'm not proud of it, but when there's deaths like this, a certain part of me is like resentful because it was like, geez, the whole world didn't come calling when my mother was left with 9 kids. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's small and petty at this point in my adult life, but that feeling still comes across.
Well, and I think when these kind of things happen to somebody like Kobe Bryant, it reminds all of us how, you know, fleeting life can be. And so if you're not, I said this earlier, but, you know, I definitely have called or texted my daughter, Julia, and my son, Brees, way more in the last 48 hours than I have in the last week and that I should be. So if you're not, I think it's jarring. It's like,
it
you know, it's like, oh, here's a 41-year-old guy who died doing what he loved, you know, going to basketball with his daughter, and it's jarring, and it reminds you of that you gotta, you know, tell people every second that you love them, and all that stuff. But I don't know that to say that Kobe Bryant is a hero in the same way that you would say Lieutenant Menard is a hero or Pat Tillman or whoever you choose is kind of the right definition for
right
it.
And I don't think it's the same type of hero. I think it's a different type of hero. I don't think it's a unilateral use of the word. I think it's just based on how people view that person and how he or she may have affected that person's life. And you know you made an excellent point, Greg, about telling the people that you love them, because you hear this all the time, but this too is fleeting. People forgot about 9/11. You want to say that, oh, no, we don't. But as the years go on, people forget about 9/11 and what happened and what it was like in the days after 9/11 when everyone was nice to each other. Same thing after the marathon bombings. People start to go back to baseline and they forget. It'll be the same thing after this. Eventually, there will be another national tragedy on some level, whatever it is, that will spike everyone to give their gratitude and tell the people they love them that they love them. Yep. And eventually that'll go away, too.
Yeah, well, you sound like a crusty conservative. Hello, John?
So be it.
Hey, good morning, show.
What's up, Johnny?
So, I was just thinking, listen to all this Pat Tillman stuff. Pat Tillman is unquestionably an absolute American hero. He gave up everything he had to fight for us and lost his life. Can't even compare him to Kobe. He is so much on a higher level than Kobe was. Kobe was more of a worldwide hero. I'm not going to say other countries are not going to idolize. Nobody in another country is going to idolize Pat Tillman. We do, because he gave up everything for us. Kobe had a much bigger reach, but he wasn't a hero. He definitely helped a lot of people, but he is not a hero on the level of the American hero, Pat Tillman, or even Lieutenant Menard.
He was an inspiration. He was a gigantic inspiration for people all over the world. And
absolutely,
and I think his story is a redemption story. He redeemed himself.
Yep.
You know, regardless of what happened in what the real story is on what happened in Colorado, I think he clearly dedicated himself to to his family yes. after that, to his daughters after that, that's admirable, mm-hmm. extremely admirable.
Which is why that should have been brought up within 24 hours. I think that's a huge, you're a great
point.
But
that wasn't how it was brought up. I mean, you want to get back into that? It was,
no, but
I mean, we spent a day on that. It was brought up that it's, you know, that mourning Kobe is complicated, which I think is, or discussing Kobe is quote unquote complicated in this era, in this Me Too era. And I don't believe it is. I mean, I believe that.
No, I think it was more of he wasn't perfect, that he had some dramatic downs in his life. And that was, of course, the lowest of the low. But I think in the whole picture of it, you're right. He's viewed as a guy who redeemed himself in a great way.
Yeah. This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
I was just thinking about that guy who called a few minutes earlier, talking about the precise definitions of words. And, you know, he had a really good point about that. I think hero is a word we overuse. I think Kobe was more of a flawed giant. You can't discuss the man's legacy without, you know, I think he did rape that girl. His wife claimed he cheated over 100 times with various women. So he's really not perfect, but his dedication to the game is incredible. His accomplishments in the game are.
Yeah, we're kind of losing you. But I think saying that he's flawed.
Yes.
Or what he's,
Kobe
but
wasn't.
Everybody's flawed.
Whose inspiration may be seen by people as heroic. Pat yeah. Tillman, hero.
I don't think you're going to be able to find anybody who hasn't done something in their life that they regret. And is not
of
a flawed person.
Of course not.
Flawed
Everyone is flawed. Everyone has done questionable things in their lives, and they like to forget that when they want to point fingers at other people.
Yeah. All right. We have to take a break, but we'll be right back.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And everybody knows how much he meant to me. From somebody I really looked up to and really was like my hero. The reason I started playing basketball and to becoming a friend and a mentor and somebody that I could talk to and, you know, help me out with a bunch of things on and off the court. So, it's been a tough couple of days.
Jason Tatum suggesting that Kobe Bryant was his hero for those who were texting in and asking who had called Kobe Bryant a hero. Oh. There are several who have said that. And I think that's your viewpoint on that. And I admire Jason Tatum and his love of the game and his love of Kobe. So
should we get all pedantic with Jason ooh. Tatum and say, don't you mean he's your inspiration, Jason?
Right. Yeah. Like
your idol.
Yes.
Maybe idol might be a better word. I don't know. Speaking of idols, I just figured out why Danielle is all spiffed up and dressed up this morning. And it is because apparently one of the new kids would like to be on the show this morning.
They're all in the building. This is my Super Bowl. Act accordingly.
Danny Wood?
Yes. He's a huge fan of the show, evidently.
Ken, Danny Wood came to the building to do other radio shows.
Right.
But requested the opportunity to come on
to this. Huge fan of your show. Yes. Okay. Our show. Right. Your show.
I hope you're
this
able.
This is exciting.
You could barely contain yourself when you got the 24 roses from Boomer Esiason this morning. Now,
nap.
When you're is now was he yeah. your was he your hero or is he your idol?
No.
Was he?
No.
What would you where
later? Like when, I mean, okay, I'm 42, so this is right in my wheelhouse. And when I was in middle school was when they really came into popularity. Like I think their debut album came out in '88, if I remember correctly. But later on, I fell in love with them, and you know they're some of the voices of my generation, at least when it comes to pop music and whatnot. And if you are feeling hard up at all, if you're a man and you'd like to get it on with a housewife that maybe hasn't had any attention paid to her in a while, that's recently divorced, I suggest maybe you go to the Fenway show this summer because there will be a plethora of those ladies.
Oh my God, the cougar warnings that are going to have to be put out by the Wildlife Preservation Society in advance. Jeez,
there's going to be a lot of individual bottles of wine being smuggled into Fenway and people's body parts.
Wait a second. Speaking of that, you just reminded me, and this will lighten the mood. Have you, by chance, heard the audio from the 80-year-old woman who is having essentially a sexual awakening because she's dating a 35-year-old man.
God love her.
You know, we were talking about this with regard to Peter Cook,
no,
right?
This is awful.
What's
listen,
awful?
Listen, if I'm going to have a problem with Peter Cook, I'm going to have a problem with this woman too. I have to be equal on both sides. Okay,
she's 80?
I haven't heard this though.
80, yes. And this is another reason why, based on our discussion earlier, maybe TMZ should no longer be a viable media outlet. Mm-hmm. But they have the story of this lady. And she's 80 years old, sexual awakening. Maybe the crusty conservatives that are listening will appreciate this discussion. They certainly appreciated. By the way, a 508 crusty conservative texted in, and they appreciated their rejoin call on the Greatest American Hero theme song.
Joey there, Scarberry. Ken.
Top five theme song.
Yeah. But anyway, let's take a listen to this woman describing what is how she feels and what has been happening.
Oh, the first night, pretty rough. Nobody had been near me for 35 years. I thought I was a virgin again. But can I say what we used? A whole tube of KY jelly?
Oh.
I couldn't walk the next day. I felt as if I'd been riding a horse. Saddle sore wasn't in it. Anyway, we got over that. We got over that.
That is amazing.
No, it's
did
not
she just
amazing.
Say saddle sore?
saddle was it saddle soap? Please.
No, I think
it was
she's talking about saddle sore from the friction.
Oh my god! Oh,
yikes on bikes! That's a whole thing. Good for her.
Granny
huh?
banger.
80
saddle sore wasn't in it.
I mean, it's listen, if you're in, if you're
working
in
on that KY sponsorship.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're in your 40s or your 50s, then it's encouraging. I mean,
of course it is.
Your sex life doesn't have to be over when you reach a certain age.
I mean, I'm barely turned on by a 35-year-old now. I can't imagine being turned on by a 35-year-old when I'm 80.
You think
it'll regress. Maybe I'll go, because I like older men now, so maybe it'll flip and I'll like younger men when I'm old.
Well, she's one of the New Kids fans that you were talking about.
She is, yeah.
And by the New Kids, you mean the platters?
Yes.
The Four Tops?
That's her New Kids.
Maybe the 35-year-old was in it because he was just hoping maybe he could shake some Werther's Originals out of her pockets.
Oh, Nick.
Oh, sorry. Too soon? It's what Pat Tillman would have wanted.
I heard she really likes Joey McIntyre.
I mean, that is disturbing, but marvelous.
I haven't felt this way since listening to Bobby Darin.
I felt as if I'd been riding a horse.
Oh, God. Stop, Ken. Hello, hello, Mark.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Mark?
And ladies.
Hi.
You know what, Kobe Bryant, if you want to call him a low model, you want to call him an idol, that's fantastic. But to put the word hero, no, Pat Tillman is a hero. That's the definition of hero. Because if we're going to throw the word hero around, I guess Tiger Woods would probably be a hero too, right?
Well,
after what he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think
now
that's...
Now he's on the, you know, the level now. He's all clean. He's not having sex with 30 women at once. Yeah. You know, so I guess he's a hero now.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's semantics to me. It's semantics.
But maybe it is a thing that it's okay to discuss whether the word hero is thrown around too generically.
Yes, it is thrown around too generically. But you know what? I don't think it needs to necessarily have this one specific, you know, definition that has 10 criteria that you have to meet before you call someone a hero. A hero to you is how you see them. And for someone else to say, that's not what a hero is, that affects your personal experience. Some people may not, unpopular opinion, some people may not consider Pat Tillman a hero because of his sacrifice. Yeah. Everyone's got their own interpretation of it.
Now, here's a text that says, Danielle, can you please answer this for me from the female perspective? And this is regard to the caller who said that Kobe's wife said that he had cheated on her with 100 women?
Yeah.
Is that even an accurate report?
Let me double check.
I've never seen that, but...
Well, you can't... One could probably surmise that there was more than, let's say, incident in Kobe. Like, one time that he strayed. I'm sure he strayed more than once, but I don't know. So, therefore, it's not my business to speculate on it.
Now, who knows? I know that people were sharing some kind of, like, a Bleacher Report interview or something like that.
Okay,
where...
so here's where this number came from. Back in 2011, when Vanessa Bryant filed for divorce and this whole thing went down, the National Enquirer reported that he had 10 affairs a year for the past 10 years.
Okay.
That's where
that's
that number
National
comes
Enquirer,
from.
Though.
You know, they, I mean, they hit on the John Edwards story and like one right. other thing. So right. take that for what it's worth.
But did she, is there a Bleacher Report thing or something where she had acknowledged that he had cheated on her more than once? The question from the texter was, other than the children and the wealth, why does somebody, the texter's question, female perspective, Danielle, was why does somebody like Vanessa Bryant stay with Kobe Bryant?
Who knows?
But,
there's a million different
but
reasons.
That's
you,
their
you know
business.
What?
This
it's their business.
So
it's not yours to judge. So you could very easily sit there and say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, great. That's not you. Maybe she just truly loves the guy and he was remorseful and she felt he could change. Maybe she felt he was struggling with a sex addiction and wanted to work through him with that and they didn't make that public. There's a million different reasons why people do things in their relationships and it's none of your business to break down why Vanessa Bryant stayed and why she didn't. It's also none of your business to criticize her for taking a $4 million diamond ring. It's you know, they're like, wow, that's secured that. These are wealthy people. They have wealth. They buy expensive things. This is how it works. It is what it is. Who gives a crap? Worry about your own life.
Whatever happened to each his own?
Seriously, everybody's got their own thing. It does not. Vanessa Bryant staying with Kobe probably doesn't affect your life.
Nope.
So...
But I'll tell you what, Giselle dumping Tom in the $600 million divorce, now that.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that on the front page of the Gossip Rag. I thought that must be true, right?
That was was that Life and Style, I think?
Here's a 207 text that says, if Tiger Woods had sex with 30 women, then he is my hero. Again, you're throwing that word.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Maine.
Well, that's there.
Here's a text from a guy who says, the only thing that keeps me from cheating on my wife is opportunity.
Yes,
I know that's the thing. That's the thing for a lot of guys. All right. Are we going to get Danny Wood from the New Kids?
Yeah, he's in Magic now. He's coming down, yes, in about three,
okay.
4 minutes.
Okay, all right.
Morning Magic.
We're going to have to call for a cleanup on Isle Danielle here.
Isle Michelle.
Isle Michelle when we return.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.